About Abolition, A Police-Free World is Possible, just published by Seven Stories Press. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Senior Editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Dr. Zom's Stereo Obscura. Offbeat sounds for talented listeners. Broadcasts every other Wednesday at 10 p.m.
There was heaven and there was earth.
Después de esa pieza, vamos a escuchar una comunicación simpática y cruel con alguien.
That's Dr. Zom's Stereo Obscura. Every other Wednesday from 10 to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. A lot of moving and shaking in Silicon Valley. Many people were surprised. Some people kind of knew this was happening. Some people were appalled about seeing all the major tech CEOs at the Donald Trump inauguration. And the perception had been for a very long time that here in the Bay Area, the tech folks kind of understood the left leanings of people. They understood that part of their success had been that they were progressive in many ways, you know, adventurous, trying out new things, trying to build a better mousetrap. And they were able to kind of cut their teeth on that. So when you thought about places like Apple, and the way that they approach music, and was almost like a breath of fresh air compared to the traditional music industry, which had always been draconian. You felt like these are people on our side. Google, when they came along, they were an upstart, and we kind of heard them say, we don't want to be the evil empire, we're going to be a good corporation. So we were very surprised to see their CEO standing right up there alongside Donald Trump. We kind of knew Elon Musk had been tinkering around as he rolled to the left, as he rolled to the right, but he made it pretty clear that he's going to be rolling seriously to the right. Nazi hand salutes in the whole nine. And the list goes on. And so now what we're seeing, at least the perception, is that the tech community, which is right here in the Bay Area, a lot of it, are hindrance to many people's progress, pulling back on DEI, draconian in their own right, oppressive, and definitely, you know, you see that playing out in just the way that people are kind of going from platform to platform on social media. People like, I don't want to hang out with Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg no more. Is there an alternative? I definitely don't want to be on X with Elon Musk. Where can I go? So there's a lot of things going on. I wanted to talk to Quincy Phillips. He's Lighthouse Silicon Valley. He's one of our go-to people when we talk about what's going on. For a very long time, Quincy, you've been front and center in terms of the DEI, you know, diversity and equity and inclusion efforts in Silicon Valley. And I guess we should just start off with that, because that word has been contaminated. And so now when I say your name, people might think, well, you know, he's just here doing that. And we actually forget, like, you're a heavy hitter yourself. Like, we don't want to get in the ring with you on and get it twisted. Like, man, you know, like, yo, this cat will take your money for real, you know. So how do we kind of make sense of some of this? Because we have brilliant people like yourselves that are sitting there, and just because of this cloud, we diminish what you and so many others have been able to accomplish just on some real, like, damn, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you did that too. I didn't know you was rolling like that. So let's start off with that off the rip.
Man, if you're going to talk about the DEI, those of us who are in this space and have been doing much more than the DEI stuff, I would say all of us are, I think we welcome it because we can wax poetic about, you know, many other things. And so I would say that those of us that are folks of color, especially Black folks, because again, the percentages are low in terms of the folks in that DEI space anyway, right? I mean, we're not even 30% in terms of holding those types of positions. And so those of us who have made it into any of the DEI space or JEDI, you know, which is more of what I talk about, we've done so much more. Right. Again, I've been in development. I've been in so many other things that my work has allowed Google and other folks in tech and in this region. They've leaned on me for that insight, for the strategic leadership, for being proactive rather than reactive. So I always say for many of us who, you know, stay claim in that and put our flag down, I think we're OK. I mean, it's sad to see. You know, the demise of it, because it will affect our work. But in terms of our positions and the work that we do, many of us are diverse enough to have seen this movie before. And so, you know, I've been prepared. So again, the same reason that, you know, I don't say DEI as much, and I said JEDI, was one of those ways of being proactive and understanding. But from a tech, you know, getting back into the tech circle, I think the easiest answer you say is, you know, something that we've always known, you know, money creates access. And so a lot of what you are seeing, especially, With this new administration turning it into a VIP, turning, that inauguration into a VIP where who gets front row, who gets top billing and all of that. I think that's what you ended up seeing. I think the one individual who was interesting to see there out of all of them was Tim Cook at Apple, who, they remain
really?
The one. Yeah, because they still to this day remain the one tech company who is saying that they're going to continue with their DEI efforts. So the other folks, that are in there, those companies, Microsoft, you've seen them, pull back from that. But Tim Cook, and he wasn't in the front row, he was, behind with Apple. He was one of those individuals who, it's going to be interesting to watch. But I would say it is really about the government and, who's in charge. And I would say the biggest thing that I know about, even holding two engineering degrees and going to school with many of these folks in the tech industry is that logic, if then else, smarts is what comes. That's the top thing for them. The politics, not as much, but in terms of logic and someone else being in power, what you are also seeing is their natural interactions, right? These engineers are very, analytical thinkers. And so, what you're seeing also shouldn't be a surprise, because logic says that there's a new sheriff in town, and that sheriff is talking about the things that they love: artificial intelligence, crypto, and those with that money. The venture capitalists also fall into that lane as well.
Talk a little bit about the crypto thing. I think people don't really understand how big of a deal that is. I saw a lot of people upset with Snoop, and I understand that, and I get it, showing up at the crypto thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, to me, that's low-hanging fruit just to talk about Snoop. You really want to ask what all that money in the room is doing and where it's going and who has it and what's going on with that. I mean, should he be there, not be there? We can have that discussion more for the barbershop. But if we're going to get on right. these airwaves, I want to ask you, what does all the crypto stuff mean? Because from what I've been told is that they very strategically lined up a whole lot of folks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be an economic sea change that might catch a lot of people off guard. There's no barriers now. Mm-hmm. It used to kind of be like you had like the feds and banks and all this other stuff. But man, when they talk about a clean sweep behind the scenes, that's a very... I want to know who Snoop was standing next to more than what Snoop was doing, because that's where it seems like the real power play is being made.
You've hit it on the head, and I think maybe 2 years ago you brought me on this show to talk a little bit about it, right? Like when it was also reaching that fever, tip or point. So I would say with the crypto, I think is what you've seen. Obviously, the president himself has put his own, coin out there that then, did some ridiculous numbers. But whether it's his talk about the IRS, what you see in happening with the IRS is external revenue services and all of those things. You can see that money as we remember it and as we currently use it, it's no longer the same, right? And we're trying to get above and around taxes and all of these types of things. You're hearing tariffs, which is, the other word for it. And so I would say with crypto, you have a lot of folks, one, who were in it well before any others, right? So there's this part of it that's like, hey, this is its own old boys network or room, right? Because if many of us weren't in it, and if many of us are just learning now through this radio show, this interview, you're too late, right? In terms of maximizing the profit, you can get into it. You might end up being forced into it. We'll see over time. We'll see over these next 2 years how much crypto advances in terms of how we use it, whether it's from a commercial side, like are we going to be able to go into Walgreens and use it, right? So there's so many levels that we have to get to before it really, takes over us. And I think that this is going to be an interesting time to see who he strategically puts around him and who Democrats strategically put around themselves as well, so that we can monitor this and make it equitable.
Why so many people in Silicon Valley into it? I mean, does it have a technological aspect to it, or is it just a money thing?
I think it's a bit of both. Again, so if you if we go all the way back to gold, and you start to follow any type of money, anyone who had it first, there's that first part, the interest, entrance to it, and being able to monopolize it, like have enough of it, have it when it's growing, right? There's that piece to it, but there's also people want to save their money. Right, people don't want to pay certain taxes. So if crypto is going through something that our IRS and our taxes are not tracking, that also makes it pretty enticing. So Snoop, who knows how much Snoop got paid at that crypto ball? No one knows. Like, there might be a figure that someone can say, but if he got any of it, which I'm sure he did through crypto, because Snoop has been in the crypto lane, you know, for years as well, then that value today is completely different than that value tomorrow or maybe 2 years or 4 years from now. And so Snoop, no matter how we look at him in terms of the crypto ball, which again, I think the inauguration and all of that stuff got thrown into it, but a lot of people put balls and things together around the, you know, incoming president. And so, you know, what he did to me was get a check. And he's also been around and in the room with many others who have been signing huge crypto checks across the world.
How does that translate to Black folks at this point in time? And you said if people don't know, it might be too late. And some people are saying it's a pyramid scheme that can go haywire at any moment. I saw a lot of people get into this and get behind this president strictly on that alone. They're like, man, I'm getting paid. It's a money train right now. You're shaking your head like, so yeah. You've heard that, right? So yeah. So it's a big money grab right now, but is that money going to run out?
Yeah, I mean, oof. So yeah, there's a lot of us who are like, who know the next 2 to 4 years are about getting your own. You're getting your own money, getting your money back, getting your chicken, your coins, all of those things because of the laws and things that are changing. So all of us need to follow that before you even get into crypto. I mean, literally following these tax changes and all of those law changes so that, again, we can figure out what side we want to be on in terms of how we make our money. Do we need to make a small business? Do we need to make something really quick so that we can benefit from some of these things, right? You don't have to be a millionaire to access the same type of benefits that these millionaires and billionaires are, but you might need your own company, right? You might need an LLC. You might need, you know, some of that. So start to do your research on those things first, even before crypto, because again, if you're getting into crypto now, might be a little bit too late from the characteristic of you being able to make as much income as many of these others, like say a Mr. Beast, right? Who's got a show on Amazon Prime and all of that, giving away 5 million, the Mr. Beasts of the world. That happened already. You're not about to come up on Mr. Beast money. But in terms of getting into crypto, any and every single day, everyone should be, you know, starting to do some research on it, right? Starting to understand, like, how are you able to? Like, if I'm just dealing with dollars and cents, coins, pennies, you know, dimes, nickels, how do I transition from just knowing that that's it to using Venmo, using Apple Pay, like all of these things that we've started to transition. There's just another level to it, which is crypto. So again, follow that, go do all of your research around crypto, see what you can get in on, see what companies are now like thinking about stocks in the same way that they think about crypto, right? Really start to follow. If you're really trying to get into a Mr. Beast, then you're going to have to do that deep dive, right? And at the cheat code for all of them, because we didn't talk about this yet. I don't know if we'll have time to, but that's AI, right? Artificial intelligence will also help you navigate this crypto space. You can easily in ChatGPT, how do I get started?
Okay.
You know, you could do those things.
So that was a good transition. I was going to ask you now, the big thing now is artificial intelligence. And I've talked to you offline, you know, seeing that there are definitely some biases if I'm just a casual user, if I want to do things, like if I want to go just show me Huey Newton holding up a flag and saying down with Zionism, it ain't going to do it. But show Huey Newton holding up the American flag, you know, show it all day, you know. Yep. So we get that. But that's small potatoes compared to what is it really being used for. And we're talking about a surveillance state, right? You mentioned Tim Cook. Tim Cook is like to Israel here. You're going to have this technology and you can use this to surveil Palestinians. So that's where I'm concerned. What sort of weaponry, quotations, is coming out of Silicon Valley that now the police have? You know, is it deeper aspects to facial recognition? You know, are they able to just tell about our conversation right now from afar because they have some sort of new technology? And so with all this artificial intelligence, that becomes kind of a scary thing if you don't know how to swim in those waters, the way that prices are being fixed. You know, we already know that developers and landlords are using, you know, AI to determine rents and all that. So how is that playing out? Does that run, you know, you said that the Trump administration is speaking a language that they like because he seems very favorable to AI. Are you saying the Democrats weren't doing that before? Were they putting limitations on it? Are the limits removed? What is the landscape of it?
I would say less of a blaming, you know, Democrats or Republicans in this, because AI moves as fast as we can even imagine, right? So I would say 2 years ago, AI versus, you know, today, you just can't, right? You can't imagine what could have happened until we actually got there. So I definitely don't put a blame on it. I think that Republicans in this administration have been smart in terms of following trends and seeing what people were excited about, right? Major tech companies, in any regulations or any movement or excitement around AI is obviously a great thing for them, because they've been the ones that have been overspending, right? It's almost like tech has used this AI battle and competition is like the new moonshot, like who's going to get on the moon first, or maybe now we're talking about Mars and some of these other places, but the tech companies are going, whether it's Microsoft with their Copilot, whether it's Google, you know, with Gemini, whether it's ChatGPT, now, you know, you see
the deep space, deep safe.
Yeah. which to me is the piece, right? To me, that's the piece that breaks this thing wide open, because what we see happening in China and them saying that they're doing something for pennies on our dollar, right? We're talking about them making something for $550 million, while we over here are talking about, nah, you got to spend $1 billion, $5 billion, right? Which is the trajectory and how much money has been spent in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley on this. So you have folks across the way who are moving faster. Now you see it again, the number one download in the AI
Let me ask you about this. The thing with China is that there were blockades put up around them, like, nah, we're not going to let you have access to our sandbox. And they came back and basically is, I don't need your sandbox. We actually found a way to do it better and cheaper. That's what the craziness is right now. So
yeah,
if I extract anything, it's like, well, I could build a better mousetrap just because you took all the resources. I could figure this out. And am I understanding?
Yeah, yeah. And they've done it. And not just that. Again, once you start, so you mentioned Tim Cook and you started with Apple. Once you start getting it into the downloads, right? You get where that is the number one download. Now, who's influencing what AI, right? So whose AI might be better, right? Like, because now you start to get into competition. The more people you have, the more informed AI is, right? Which then can start to have more models and all of that stuff. And especially if it's more of us in it, obviously we're probably going to go on this other side. So what is America going to do now? What is Trump going to do? It makes sense for this administration to kind of double down with the news from China to say, okay, now we need to give you everything, because this is a race and we're not going to lose it. And we want to make sure all our people, especially with the news of TikTok, if we got somebody coming in and saying like, oh, our data and all of that is now being owned by someone else, or maybe it's a partnership now. But again, if that's the thing that scared us, then, you know, China's AI is definitely going to scare us more, because they're already in our app stores. And we, as the youngins in any of this, we definitely are going to go there, because we surely don't want to be left out again.
Quincy Phillips is our guest from Lighthouse Silicon Valley. Q, let me ask you, what was the TikTok thing about? If the concern was China has our data, But now they come up with an AI program that is far superior to ours, and it's on the app stores. Was this a bait and switch thing? What's going on here? Because it's like, well, I mean, if the number one download is something that comes out of China, then what was the TikTok thing concerned about?
Right.
You must be shaking your head like, yeah, man, that sounds like a hustle and a half.
What it sounds like to me, especially again, putting on my engineering hat, is how much we're getting our behinds whooped. Right. It's like, look over there. Like, work on TikTok. Be concerned about TikTok and all those things. Right. If I'm China. Yeah, look at the monkey, right? Doing the whole Johnny Cochran, right? So we're over here looking at TikTok, and then all of a sudden news breaks on every media channel about China's new deep thing, right? Like the deep state, and it's game over. So you worried about this, if we're gonna give you all of this, but at the end of the day, all of y'all are gonna give us everything in this new AI platform. Doesn't matter. Like, we just look like we continue to be behind. And I would say, like, it was a
hustle and a half. But then let me ask you this: how much of that hustle came about, you know, because, you know, groups like AIPAC are like, well, they're giving too much information about, you know, the Palestinian situation, or there's a lot of people making money and I don't like the way they're making money, and, you know, all these ethnic groups are being able to form community and we don't control that community. And so I saw a lot of, I don't like what these people are doing type of attitude. Mm-hmm. We need to shut it down. In the back of the mind, that will hurt you and your black butt, and hurt you and your Palestinian butt, and hurt you and your women butt. You know, it seemed like that was the driving force. And while people were kind of like, yeah, we put a stop to them, all of a sudden there became a better game that came along. And so it seemed like in this intensity and this drive to punish a whole bunch of other folks, technologically speaking, we lost.
Yeah, and we keep losing. Like, I think that's the, as we look at this, we keep losing. And that's probably a piece of why tech is so united behind this administration, because they're hearing things that loosen up, you know, the barriers to what China and others in other countries have been able to do. And again, if they're able to use their own money and keep more of their own money, then that, you know, R&D stuff just starts to make a lot more sense in tech space. Again, this new president is speaking their language, and he's got a team to do it well, right? Whether he means it or not.
Why didn't Biden and them do that? What was the misstep with them? Because Obama was out here all the time rolling with them. So what happened with Kamala?
You can go back to Al Gore and Clinton in 96, right? So I think, well, what we've seen, and let's just go off of what we've seen in terms of the facts, is there haven't been more who have been scrutinized over the last 4 years than tech and Silicon Valley, right? You've seen Zuckerberg on trial, like, you've seen them being called in, right? And called to task and being, in some cases, humiliated. And, you know, most of us in tech are not we're more socially awkward than we are, you know, very comfortable in those spaces. And so we saw the aftermath of that. And I don't think anyone is going to forget that. And I mean, those CEOs who were, you know, placed on there. And so now you're seeing a shift in terms of, you know, folks being invited into it, and these conversations shifting where people are being asked, you know, Andreessen, the VCs and everyone, then I think that's where you see why not. Like, again, if I'm just thinking as a black person or just thinking as an American, and I'm like, man, the last time I was in with government, they was reading me my rights. And now this guy is coming in and he's pretty much opening up things for us all. And we got this guy, Elon Musk, who we all know we're not as wild as. So it's like, you got somebody like Elon Musk who's in there who can take all of the hits, right? In terms of him making gestures and all of that, he's going to be the one to do that. Sundar, Google, he's not going to do that. Tim Cook surely ain't going, right? You know, there's other folks. So they've got someone in there that can take all the hits, take all of the fire and ammunition that goes to them. Now, they sit quietly, play the game, watch it. They win too, right? So again, if I'm just thinking as a smart person, what Tech is doing makes perfect sense. Because what do they have to lose? Especially if you got someone as loud as Elon Musk, who's going to take most of the fire.
So how does that translate down to regular folks? You're from the South Side of Chicago. You know, I live in Oakland from the Bronx. You know, folks are sitting around like the price of eggs is $50 a carton. You know, the rents are too high. How does that translate to us? Because also during this time, and part of the reason that some of those folks were called up to task was, one, the monopolization they had on data and information, right? So if I had to go to Facebook and Facebook decides they were to shadow ban me, you know, I had no recourse because 2 billion people are on that platform. Or Elon Musk wants to, you know, have Nazi salutes show up on his platform. It's nothing I can do. You know, he's not letting my red, black, and green flag go. So that was one part. And then we had all these battles around, well, how come, you know, the average Joe from our aforementioned communities aren't up in these spaces? So that seemed to be the issue. Now it's like, it seems like part of the celebration is not only do we not have these regulations on us, but I don't even have to deal with you, Q, and all these other people. I can get whoever I want. and we can roll. So that seems like they wanted to shed that as well, which becomes kind of a problem.
Yeah.
In the long run, because it seems like folks are going to be left behind. And let me just give an example of what I mean by that in more practical terms. So let's say you want to go on chat. We'll use that as an example.
Yeah.
And, you know, it used to be, you know, for free. And then it was like, you know, you could pay like a yearly thing. Now it's like you want to get on there with all the bells and whistles.
Yep.
$200 a month. That's what it said. I mean, they $200 a month. Then you can do all the good stuff. We got a $20 a month thing, but, you know, if you want to do all the stuff that $200 a month. So now you got a situation where folks are being priced out.
Yes.
And with no reining in. We should all be concerned, because it seems like everybody else will go along the same price point and say, yeah, the people in the flats, nah, they're not going to be able to have this $500 a month. The crypto guys can do it, but the regular folks can't.
Yeah, because their business expense for the crypto guys, like, we got that built in already. So I think you're hitting on a couple of points. One of the things that I like to remind our folks of, this happened with cell phones, right? Like, we're all old enough to remember when cell phones first came out and who had access to them and who didn't, right? Mm-hmm. And so there were those things. So I would say, again, in any of these cases, we've seen the movie before, none of these folks are that smart. We're not recreating the wheel, or we're not changing things too much. So we've seen it. They're copying it. You know, 2025 is out there, right? 120. So I would say, from a standpoint of kind of what we do next, remember where we came from. We know that, again, we just talked about China. So we've seen ChatGPT raise their prices. We've seen Copilot come in. We've seen Microsoft do it. We've seen Google come in. It's like, oh, Gemini is free. But if you really wanted to do something, if you really want to do the things in terms of start your business and now let AI be all of these people within your business, then pay this subscription price. We know at some point that's going to fade out, right? Like, the prices will eventually drop. It's going to be that, and then it's going to come down. China has helped us, right? Because with their new thing being cheaper, that's going to limit it. And I'm not saying it's going to limit it today, but when we start to look at things a year from now, we'll see, again, things level out. But that that still speaks to the big issue that we as our people and what you're talking about have, because we're missing. We need to be involved right now. We need to have access to all of those tools right now while it's while we have the ability to create our own companies and stuff. So when people ask me, like, what should we be doing now in the era of AI, the era of new administration, in the era of Silicon Valley and where it's going, telling everyone the same thing, you know, you need to set up your own little businesses, right? Like, you're just following the same things all of these rich people are actually doing, just at your scale, right? And again, from an AI perspective, I think for us, it's really trying to understand in our walk of life, whatever business we're in, if we're not in business, we're working for somebody else, or those things. How is AI? You're going to look at it two ways. One, if it has the possibility of changing your life and your job and your livelihood, then you really need to pay attention. Like, are you in a career path that AI is coming and is going to remove you? Really pay attention to that. We obviously got to get more jobs and skills training transition from you. If you're not in that space, then I'm saying you as an individual need to find your pathway within AI, like how it really works. I don't care. It could be as simple as your finances and your taxes on a yearly basis. Like, what way will AI that you understand it work for you in your everyday life? And then that basic knowledge and understanding, you'll start to see more pathways within AI that will walk you into the other parts of your life. But it's going to be difficult. This next year, if you're just getting into this, I'm saying to you, make sure that AI isn't going to be one of those things that changes your job. And if you are seeing that, get ready to transition. And then if you're not in one of those positions, then do what everyone else is doing. And that's getting your own LLC, getting your own business set up, getting those things taken care of, because the way that people are avoiding paying taxes are through business. And so if you want to catch the same wave that the next 4 years will provide, we have to do the same thing. And that's not
easy. We had you on, Quincy, and you talked in depth about all the free classes. They were free at that time that Google had. And I remember you were telling people they should start doing that. And this is before AI was really blowing up. Where does that stand now? Are those classes still available?
Free. Still free. Still available. Google is doubling down. I think I can't remember the number, but I want to say maybe a week or two ago, they talked about the amount of cybersecurity jobs and things that they want to create out of Africa. Right. Like, Google is being intentional. Some of these companies are being intentional and going outside of the States because some of us just haven't taken advantage of these free, you know, resources and materials. And because they sit there, Google is going to go to whoever is willing to take them. And so now when you're seeing people on sites like Fiverr, you know, where you can be your own consultant and make up sites, like, you're seeing way more people use the same Google tools to then get paid the $400 or $500 for your new website. And that is just being moved to outside of this country. So Google, if you follow Google, I tell everybody, blog.google, right, is the website, blog.google. Don't put nothing else around it, just blog.google. You go there, they tell us every week what new opportunities that they have, and they are out there for free. Microsoft has them as well.
Will the technology be a weapon that's used against us? And I think that's become the conversation. I mentioned Tim Cook and the type of technology that was given to Israel, which is a tech hub now, to just do surveillance on Palestinians, right? And we already know that police have a lot of this technology. And, you know, you go to places like New York, and in the name of fighting terror, they have all the facial recognition and all that. And I think for a lot of people who sit in the social justice space, that becomes the alarm. What's the dance that gets to be done? First of all, can you stop it at this point? Is the genie out the bottle, or do we have to, you know, I think you said, have to develop our own weapons?
Yeah, it's over now.
China, have to develop our own type of technology, and, you know, and things that are going to work for us specifically. Yeah.
This country has done enough. I think the TikTok situation shows you enough, right? That it's far gone. Right? It's too late. they got us. We're in their web. They're using it, you know, for us. There's no way a site goes down and still allows us to see it, right? And put these messages that don't pass any type of copywriter etiquette, right? Any of the messages that were put up in and around it. So we can see that it's already being used against us. Technology in every form of fashion, whether it's our social media, whether again, it's the things that listens to us. And so all of a sudden now we're getting emails, you know, about these things. That's already there. Like there's no hiding that. That's the facts, you know, around it. And so, yeah, it is too late. And the more that we're in it, which we all are, we are just wed to what that is, because none of us are looking at the terms and conditions of any of these applications.
So how do we dance with it then correctly to our advantage?
I mean, well, I think we just we're smart. We got to be smart. Like, so I look at technology, as long as it's not illegal, as long as I'm not doing anything illegal, I'm okay. Right. But if I don't want certain things known about me, then I'm not going. So if no disrespect to anybody out here, this is a huge industry. But if you go on porn sites, understand that people can track you on porn sites. So that's just the reality for every single thing now. But back in the day, it was all about, oh, we're going to check your cookies and see what sites you go to. That's over. They see every single thing, right? They see it before you even start typing it, right? It finishes what you start, right? www.p. Oh, it's going to let you know what else is going to come in. So I would say, like, because of those things that we see, those things are done. Now, how we use it to better ourselves is really using it as a tool to better ourselves. So if, again, if we're on social media, if we're not looking at it from a content development, content is everything. Content continues to be key. So in any of these internet technology spaces, if we're not using it for ourselves to maximize our own brand potential, who we want to see, who we want to interact with, use it as a tool and a resource, not as just something that's fun and games, because those things are not tracking you like fun and games. They're tracking you as somebody that they can monopolize in terms of the capitalism things, or again, track you in ways of being like, okay, if we want to move people over to this, we can start to, you know, flood them with these commercials and bots and all of those things. So
social engineering is what we like to
call it. Yeah, a lot of social engineering. But I would just say, like, we shouldn't be too scared, because the more scared we become, more than likely we try to remove ourselves from it rather than immersing ourselves and knowing more. And once we know more, then again, we'll see how easy it is to manipulate code. We just don't know how to code. Right. We're afraid of how.
But then again, you gave out those addresses to go get those classes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, nah, yeah, I don't know. You know.
Right. Right. It's like, it's a catch 22, because most of us don't want to go back to school for something. But if this is like, I'm forced because I have a 3-year-old about to be turning 4. So I'm forced. Yesterday, we're sitting, you know, in my room, and all of a sudden through her iPad, she changes what's happening on my TV. I don't even know how to do that. Mm. Right. But she does. She sees codes coming up and she's putting it, and she's not even 4 yet. So again, I'm looking at my daughter and saying, like, yes, I want to make sure she has all the ammunition to understand these things and get it and grow up with it so that she can manipulate it for her own, you know, promise and gain rather than it manipulating her.
How do you strike a balance? Is too much in that world something that is, does that affect our psyche? Does it affect our the way in which we engage one another? Do we become too dependent upon that? You know, I think one of the things that people have been talking about is like, you know what? Let me call you up and we actually go to lunch. We sit not just on a screen, but we sit face to face. You know, I know, yeah. I've been intentional about that in the last few months. Like, I'm hanging out directly with you, not on screen. How do we strike that balance so that you aren't, or is it too detrimental to be completely immersed in that world?
No, we got to strike a balance. We have to strike a balance. I mean, we're seeing, again, our social skills dwindle. We can't have conversations. Our conversations are just at odds, right? We're not having a conversation, we're having an argument. And because again, we're lacking those natural skills of us going outside, seeing people in the regular settings. And hey, things that I say, I mean, even with my daughter, even myself, I mean, for me, I'm back to back in Zooms and all of that. I automatically build walks in, right? So even in my calendar as an executive, I surely can. There's things that I have the privilege of owning my time, but I build in those things, right? I build in all of that to balance it out, because again, too much in it is messing up your eyes, right? I need glasses a lot more now, right? So you're just seeing just the regular things physically that it does to us. Now, mentally, again, those are the skills, the social skills, and those things that, you know, we are falling by the wayside. And it's also why many other countries are lapping us, right? You know, because all of our youth are just indoors. Right, we can't even play all the sports anymore because so many of our youth are indoors. And
that's crazy, because some of those places that are more technologically advanced actually have the balance.
Got the balance. It's built in. It's literally built. Again, even when I was working at Google in the development side, our job was to develop these buildings that had all of the other side as a part of it. Again, you can go to any Google campus. It's going to have gyms and all that stuff everywhere. It's going to be a walkable campus. Google Tech does it. There's not a tech company that exists today that is just within some box. Like if you're thinking IBM way back when and all these mainframe screens, no tech companies look like that now. Yeah, you're going to be inside, but they're going to give you enough to go outside and balance that out. So if tech companies are doing that for their employees, please, adults, parents, understand that you need to follow their lead and do that for your children too and yourselves. Because again, if tech is doing it and telling you, get your behind outside, stop and smell the roses, then you also need to do the same thing.
As we close out, any marching orders, anything that you would give people and let them know how they can get a hold of you, Q?
Ooh, lighthousesv.org is the website. We are changing our name to Lighthouse Innovation Center because we're bigger than Silicon Valley now. It's a beautiful thing for me to be able to say those words. I would say the things that you all need to be doing is follow what you see, you know, and following in terms of following the news, watching the news as you see these, especially in the tech space, announcements being made. Pay attention. Right. Even when you're looking at TikTok and you're seeing the conversations about how much income can be lost in a day of not being, follow the numbers, figure out why that is, find those spaces. AI is it can be scary, but it does not have to be. Right. And so find your safe space in AI to just try it out. And again, I like to use Google's Gemini, because it's one of the most easiest and simple to use, and use a free version. And then just again, just ideate, put yourself in there, do more of putting ourselves in these spaces so that AI notices us and recognizes us, and so that we're counted in AI and the technology moving forward, rather than us standing on the outside and then we're never included.
Quincy Phillips, man, we appreciate you taking time out. We're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris Juwan Kim. Yeah. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else is just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio, let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D. Yeah, right, feel me. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kind of crazy though. Oakland, stand up.
Stand up.
Ensemble, Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help you. Come on, check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Ain't nothing made, they beats trying to eat till they're ready for the steel gray beef. Say please, maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Say some peace to the lovers I need with a please. Make some shade on your name in the street. It ain't David G.
Real Talk Radio. You and I are rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast. Radio. Dance out.
Howard Keeler, a life of labor and liberation. For Howard Keeler, a long life in service to the working class began in his younger years in Ohio, where he saw miners going to work in rural Ohio, not far from the Appalachians and near the mines. He grew up with a strong sense of solidarity among workers. He became registered as a longshoreman in 1959 when he found his political footing as a radical trade unionist and a revolutionary activist for his class and especially other dock workers. He constantly used the docks as a basis for organizing workers while opposing the rulers. When South Africa was gripped in the knot of apartheid, Taylor raised a motion to refuse to remove cargo from South African vessels. To his surprise, the motion passed unanimously by the members of the ILWU, or the International Longshoremen and Warehouse Union, Local 10. This action earned the praise of South Africa's Nelson Mandela, who commended Local 10 during his 1990 world tour. Mandela said Local 10, Howard Jr., was on the front line of the global struggle against the racist system of apartheid. That's what was the Workers United vision of Howard Keeler. Howard Keeler was, in essence, a lifelong revolutionary who greeted all struggles as a challenge to be met and beaten. He fought for social justice and a better world. He fought against my death sentence and for my freedom. He is remembered as a man who made every one of his 98 years count. Howard Keeler's extraordinary life for labor and liberation. Thank you, brother. With love, not fear. This is Mumia Abu Jamal.
Let us ha! Hey, hey, ho, 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 Hard Knock Radio. East, west, north, south, conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous. Speaking to the thugs, one love. We know where y'all at. Top, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. Yo, and to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard knocks. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard knocks. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side.
The rain falls hard. An old man sleeps, no roof, no guard. Under the freeway, lost in cold. Somebody's father left out alone. What mother could picture this sight? Her child forgotten, lost to the night. $1 million homes lying away, but for him there's no shelter, no place to stay. What happens to us when we fall from grace?
Fall from grace.
When the world turns its back, why do the evil people never ever die?
Die.
While the good ones suffer and ask the sky,
sky,
is there no justice for the ones who cry? Will we ever rise? Will we ever thrive?
Sky.
As this old man shivers in the dead of night,
die.
Rich people passing their lives full of light, they turn a blind eye, too busy to care, while he's left to freeze in the cold, cold air. Why do the evil people never ever die?
Die.
While the good ones suffer and ask the sky,
sky,
is there no justice for the ones who cry? Will we ever rise? Will we ever thrive? Why do evil people keep on living? Why so many who are good keep forgiving? One day, someday, things got to change. We can't keep suffering. We can't remain the same.
In the realm of the airwaves, where the truth does spin,
Hard Knock Radio takes the mic. Let the dialogue begin.
From the heart of the culture, where the beats do sway,
hip hop, pop, politics, and culture rule the day.
Rock it on your radio.
Hard Knock, rock it on your radio.
Hard Knock, rock it on your radio.
Speaking truth to power.
Hard Knock, rock it on your radio. Hard Knock, rock it on your radio.
Truth, power.
Hard Knock, rocking on your radio.
This is KBOO Portland.
Here we go again. It's the game we love.
Play game.
Tune in on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. for Winner's Bias, a new show exploring the culture around tabletop gaming. From game nights to conventions, Nate and James share what makes the hobby so vibrant through banter and interviews with local members of the hobby game scene. And if we can inspire a few listeners to join us around the table, all the better. More people to play with. Winner's Bias. You don't have to win to have fun, but it doesn't hurt. The first and third Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Hey KBOO listeners, join us at the station on February 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. for our Stupid KBOOPID First Friday Arts Walk. Enjoy art, listen to music, have a drink, get your face painted, and pick up a Valentine's gift from one of our amazing vendors. There's something for everyone. We can't wait to see you.
In the moment that you wander far from me.
This is Bird Note. How long can a bird fly without once touching the earth or alighting to perch? Experts have speculated for years that some kinds of swifts spend long, continuous periods of their lives in the air. To figure out exactly what they get up to, Swiss scientists began researching alpine swifts, a large species with a wingspan of over 2 feet. The research published in 2013 involved attaching sensors to some of the swifts while they were nesting in Europe and recovering them on the bird's return from spending winter in Africa. It was already known that the swifts eat on the wing, but what about sleep? The sensors showed long periods when the swifts were gliding and not flapping their wings. But scientists aren't sure if that means the birds were asleep. Could be that, like some other animals, alpine swifts do all their sleeping during the summer breeding season and don't sleep at all during migration. As for why they stay aloft so long, while they're supreme flyers, swifts find landing complicated. They can't perch because they have very short legs. So, if they can manage it, avoiding touching down makes perfect sense. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Naomi Klein, and you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
Stupid Cupid, you're a real mean guy.
Hey KBOO listeners, join us at the station on February 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. for our Stupid KBOOFID First Friday Arts Walk.